Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We start, though, with what's turning into a bit of a strange story with the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband. With us is Shira Stein, Washington correspondent for the San Francisco Chronicle. Thanks for being with us. So briefly walk us through what we know and what we think we know.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Basically, early this morning, a assailant broke into the Pelosi residence in San Francisco. Speaker Nancy Pelosi was not home, but her husband, Paul Pelosi, was. The assailant used a hammer and hit Paul Pelosi. The suspect, who we now know is named David DePape, was booked on suspicion of attempted homicide, assault with a deadly weapon, and elder abuse. Paul Pelosi has been in the hospital and has been treated. We don't have an update, but he's expected to make a full recovery. And that's sort of the basics that we know. We've learned bits throughout the day, but there's still a lot more we need to know.
Yeah, Shira, we were getting reports, of course, that he was hit in the body, but also in the head, and that, in fact, he did undergo brain surgery. Can you update us in any way about that?
We actually haven't been able to confirm that he's had brain surgery. We're still determining that may have been some misinformation. We do know that he has been in the hospital, but it's unclear if he actually needed to undergo brain surgery.
Okay, so now, of course, the question that I think many people want to know is, didn't they have any kind of security? I mean, she is the Speaker of the House, a very powerful woman. They live in a pretty ritzy neighborhood. Considering the political climate now in the country, they had no security?
Well, so we know that Nancy Pelosi herself does have protection from Capitol Police. As the Speaker of the House, she has that. Capitol Police was unable to comment on whether or not they protect family members, but as far as I know, they typically do not. We've also know that some people in her neighborhood do have private security, but we've been unable to confirm if her block is one of those. So it's really unclear. I mean, her house was the site of a protest. Her garage was spray painted in January 2021. Obviously, a very different situation. But we're still kind of trying to determine how much security was actually at her home if she's not there.
Right. So the suspect himself is somebody that apparently has had some weird stuff in the past, right, on social media and Facebook. Is the thinking that this was politically motivated, or is the thinking that this is somebody who is mentally disturbed and happened to know that Nancy Pelosi resided there, or what?
Yeah, the police say it's still being determined, but there has been reports saying that the attacker entered the home asking, "Where is Nancy?" which was also said during the January 6th attack in some footage. The person, we've looked at what appear to be some of his online postings, and they do appear to talk about some typically right-wing extremist things. He's posted about the far-right QAnon conspiracy theory. So it's still unclear. It could be both. It's just unclear. There have been a lot of attacks on lawmakers in recent years. I think everyone's pretty familiar with January 6th, but there's also been lawmakers who were shot at during a baseball practice, folks like Representative Pramila Jayapal from Washington State, who was targeted by a man carrying a gun outside her home earlier this year. There's just been a lot of violence and threats of violence towards lawmakers in the last few years.
Yeah, you can add the attempted kidnapping as well of Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. T- to that long list. And with that, from your sources and what you see and hear working in the nation's capital, are you hearing more about the need for greater protection for members of Congress, especially those in higher positions, you know, Nancy Pelosi, second in line to the presidency, more protection for them and their families?
I haven't heard as much about their families. There actually was some funding put together after the January 6th attack. So each member of Congress is eligible to receive up to $10,000 for their home security system. That just started in August, though, so it's unclear how many have actually taken up and used that money. But if it's their home security system, that likely will protect members of their family. So it's I would suspect we might see some more discussion about that. There's been a lot of talk in recent months about this, but I suspect we see more after this really scary attack.
All right. Shira, thank you again. That's Shira Stein, Washington correspondent for the San Francisco Chronicle.
Again, police have not explained the motive for the attack, if they know what it is, but this does raise questions and concerns about the safety of lawmakers in this very volatile political climate. With us is Susan Stokes, director of the Chicago Center on Democracy at the University of Chicago. Thank you very much for being with us. So, as I said, we don't know yet, and whether the police know or not, they're not saying what the actual motive was, if this was a deranged individual or somebody who, at least on the surface, appears to have some political leanings. But what does this all say about the atmosphere that this country currently finds itself in?
Well, thanks for having me. Happy to be here. We're in a very violent period, a period of tremendous kind of, violent instincts, violent actions by citizens, sometimes encouraged or at least not discouraged by political leaders. And I don't think I have to remind anybody that almost the definition of democracy is a system in which we use nonviolent means to resolve our conflicts. So the more these kinds of events happen, and as you say, we don't know exactly what was going on with this individual, but the more that our members of Congress and our political leadership are exposed to violent threats and actual acts of violence, the more we move away from being a democracy.
Susan, what can be done? If we look into the future from now, how concerned should we be when it comes to the potential for more of these types of attacks?
I think we should be very concerned. I think the level is unbelievable. I think maybe we've gotten a little used to it over the past few years, but the New York Times reports that there have been almost 10,000 threats against members of Congress since 2016. And the rate of them, the pace of them, has been picking up. And we also have a lot of threatening activities against lower level folks, people involved in election administration, and so on. And so this is of great concern. One of what can be done. So one of the main things that has to happen is our political leadership has to denounce in no uncertain terms any use or threat of use of violence, be it political violence of any kind. And I was very encouraged to see very quick responses by the congressional leadership, Democrats and Republicans. Mitch McConnell came out very quickly denouncing this attack. So did Kevin McCarthy. So did Steve Scalise, who, of course, was the victim of a terrible gun attack in 2017. So did Susan Collins, who had a more minor attack on her home. That's all good. As far as I have seen, there has not been any mention of this event on the part of the de facto leader of the Republican Party, who is Donald Trump. And, we have learned a lot about the inciting of violence on January 6th by then President Trump. We have, seen from the very beginning of his campaign going back to 2016, verbal violence, encouraging violence at his rallies. It's time for anyone who wants to be the leader of a major party in a democracy to distance himself from that kind of violence and to speak out very clearly and very in a very nonpartisan way against such actions.
You know, whenever these sort of attacks or incidents happen, there's usually somebody, and maybe they've already said it, who says something along the lines of, this is not who we are. But Susan, suppose this is who we are.
Well, I think, unfortunately, we are who we make ourselves to be. And we, and as voters and as common citizens, we're very responsive to our political leadership. And so really the buck stops with our political leadership. I mean, we're a country that, you know, has a long history of Wild West, and you know, we have, you know, we have a lot of violence in our culture, no doubt about it. But it's also the case that the political violence, the degree to which people are willing to act on sort of violent instincts, and also to be given beliefs that lead them to be so angry and so morally outraged that they would turn to violence, that again is really on our political leadership. So they can turn us into that kind of people who we don't want to be, or they can bring out the better version of ourselves. I don't think, we certainly don't need to be this kind of people, but this kind of country, but we are, you know, rapidly going in that direction. And it's really a source of great concern for anyone who cares about the health of American democracy.
Yeah, Susan, we've all seen the video, of course, of the shooting of John F. Kennedy when he was sitting in the back waving to people from the back of a convertible. In Texas, in Dallas that day. Now, of course, the president is in a fortress, the beast, as they call it, the limousine that he travels in, bulletproof windows. As terrible as things are right now, is this simply the cost of living in democracy?
I think it's the cost of living in a system that where democracy is under attack. I mean, it's true. We've had periods. So in the 1960s, I'm certainly old enough to remember, you know, the assassination of JFK, the assassination of Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, countless acts of violence in the course of the civil rights movement, and so on. And you know, so it's not that we don't have a history of that kind. But what I think is happening right now and has been happening for the past few years is incitement and encouragement by leaders, elected leaders, people running for office, to sort of get their bases all worked up and prepared to engage in acts of violence. And that is not at all what it is like to live in a democracy. It certainly doesn't have to be. You know, our you know, people from other countries, advanced democracies, look across at us and are, you know, are frightened on our behalf at the levels of violence that we've reached. And, you know, there are violent assassinations, political assassinations have happened in a number of countries, and we're not unique in that sense, but we are really going very quickly down a path toward the public being riled up to acts of violence by political leaders. And there's nothing democratic about that.
Okay. Susan, thank you. Again, that's Susan Stokes, director of the Chicago Center on Democracy at the University of Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.